I know most of you have heard sermons about the distinction between the church as a building and the church as a community. I know this because I have stood here and preached several. Most recently, when we read of David wanting to build the temple, but God said no, because David did not yet understand that the temple and all of its descendant buildings, including our two sanctuaries here on Rosemary Street and St. Luke's Chapel on River Road, are not houses where God will come to live at the exclusion of everywhere else, nor are they monuments that we build so God will know how important she is. I have also, over the past 18 months or so, worked to frequently remind us that this building is not the church. It is not the defining feature of who we are as a community. This past year and a half has been difficult for many, not just many of you here, but for many across every church, synagogue, mosque, and temple in the world, as we have all had to reckon with the reality that sometimes the safest thing for us to do for each other is not to be together, even here. And so we have had to consciously and constantly remind ourselves and each other that the building is not the church, that our ability to be a community in love for each other and God's world is not bound by these walls, that God is not bound by these walls. And so we have found other ways to be together, outside and online, through email or text, through phone calls, notes, and letters, even as some of those letters may still be drifting through the postal network. David did not get to build the temple because David did not understand these things. David wanted to build a temple because David hoped that God would be contained in a box, because David thought that God was like David and would be distracted by comfortable accommodations. Solomon knows better. Our lectionary text today from 1 Kings is an excerpt from Solomon's dedication of the temple. And the nature of Solomon's prayer shows why Solomon was allowed to build the temple when David was not. Solomon prays, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. Regard your servant's prayer and his plea, O Lord my God, heeding the cry and the prayer that your servant prays to you today. That your eyes may be open night and day toward this house, the place of which you said, 'My name shall be there,' that you may heed the prayer that your servant prays towards this place." Solomon knows that God cannot, will not be contained, but Solomon prays that the temple may be a special place for us, a special place where people may more closely feel the presence of God. More than that, Solomon prays that the temple will be a signpost, directing people's prayers and attention to God even when they are remote. As Solomon asks God's favor on prayers not just made in or near the temple, but on those directed toward the temple. In a section of the prayer that the lectionary skips, Solomon prays, "If there is famine in the land, if there is plague, blight, mildew, locust, or caterpillar, if the enemy besieges them in any of their cities, whatever plague, whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever plea there is from any individual or from all your people, all knowing the afflictions of their hearts, so that they stretch out their hands toward this house, then here in heaven, your dwelling place, forgive, act, and render to all those whose hearts you know according to all their ways. For only you know what is in every human heart, so that they may fear you all the days, and that they live in the land that you gave to their ancestors. Solomon knows that God works even at a distance. Even those who cannot make the journey to the temple, those who cannot enter the temple because of time, because of distance, because of illness, because of war, famine, drought, or even a pandemic. And I would not be surprised if Bible translators start to use pandemic instead of plague. They can direct themselves, their hearts and their minds and their prayers to God just by thinking on the temple as they pray. Solomon goes further, praying not just for those who are kept away from the temple by outside forces, by famine, drought, war, and illness, but Solomon prays for those that we humans try to keep away. And so after the lectionary skips over the section I just read, it jumps back in as Solomon prays, "Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people, Israel, comes from a distant land because of your name, for they shall hear of your great name, your mighty hand, and your outstretched arm. When a foreigner comes and prays toward this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all that the foreigner calls you, so that all the peoples of earth may come to know your name and fear you as do your people Israel, and so that they may know that your name has been invoked on this house that I have built." The biblical witness is not consistent about who is welcome in the temple. We have passages like this today, like passages in Isaiah and even in the Gospels, where we hear that the temple should be a house of prayer for all people. In other places, the text calls for the exclusion of people for a variety of reasons. Even today, we struggle to be consistent in extending this welcome. Nearly every church calls themselves welcoming. Many churches will say they welcome all people, perhaps using a phrase like "all means all," or sometimes with what they hope is a reasonably exhaustive list. And nearly every church has limits on who is truly welcome, even as they might never admit it. Back in June, the session gathered for a mini retreat at St. Luke's. While there, we talked about how each of us came to be active in this congregation, the things that got us to come through the doors to give this community a chance, and the things that have kept us coming back, in some cases for decades. We have talked about what we want the congregation to be, and the two ideas that kept coming up were welcoming and community leaders. If you've been back in the church library, you have seen those words written on the easel pad. We are keeping them on display so that we are continually reminded of those goals. But the session cannot do that work alone. So today, I invite each of you to join the session in the work of making us a more welcoming congregation. Some of the educators among you may have heard of the action-reflection model of learning. The basic idea is that after we do something, we need to take time to reflect on it, to consider what we did and why, what worked and what did not work. I want us to use that model as we move forward, as we strive to become more welcoming, so I invite us all to begin by reflecting on our past actions, both of us as individuals and of this body as a congregation. I know that this will not be comfortable for all of you, but I ask you to think about who is really welcome here and who might not be. I ask us all to think about the ways that we are currently a welcoming place and the ways in which we are not. Think about why that might be, about how we might change that, and how we might demonstrate our welcome to the wider community around us. Reflection on our past practice will help us to consider what we want to keep and what we want to change moving forward. Finally, remember what Solomon knew, that God welcomes and hears the prayers of all those who pray toward the temple. Solomon knew that God welcomes all to the temple, even as Solomon knew that we might not. Even Solomon knew that we might struggle to extend the welcome as broadly as God does. And so today, let us pray for those we exclude, knowingly or unknowingly. Let us pray that we may open our hearts to God's will, that we may extend our welcome more widely. Let us pray that our community may serve like the temple Solomon built as a signpost, pointing towards God's love and work in this world for all people. And let us remember that even when we fall short in granting God's welcome, that we cannot contain God, and that God will continue to welcome us and all others with grace and joy, even when we do not. And for that, friends, thanks be to God.